Do you ever hang around bad people? You know, a lot of us, especially if we've been in church longer and longer, we become very good at staying away from the bad folks, right? You know, those who we recognize as evil, people who do demonstratively bad things, right? You know, would you ever hang around people who are liars and cheaters? Right? Or, you know, what about drug dealers? Or pedophiles? There's a good one, right? What about homosexuals? You ever hang around people like that? Somewhere in the back of our minds, maybe in the front of our minds, we have decided, we've learned that good people like us don't hang around people like that. But Jesus was absolutely scandalous about how much he hung around bad people. It was just horrible. Right? I mean, if things like Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff would have existed, I mean, the internet would have exploded like every week over the new person Jesus was hanging around with. Now, when the good people were muttering about Jesus hanging around bad people, he told them a story. He said, you know, there's this guy, and he had 100 sheep. And they're in this pasture where the shepherd, the guy's a shepherd because he has sheep, where the shepherd, you know, he's keeping these sheep, and he starts counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 98, 99. Uh-oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 98, 99. Okay. Bill, Fred, Barney, Wilma, Sue. Where's Harold? Where's that? I'm losing one. Okay. So he goes out after the lost one. He goes out after Harold. Harold the sheep. And you know, the other 99 are hanging out in this pasture where they were supposed to be, and he goes out. See, one of the things he knows about sheep is that if you let them alone, they just kind of keep wandering away. They're not like dogs who have this kind of this homing ability and they come back, right? They're not homing pigeons. And he goes out and he goes hunting for this for Harold. And he finally finds Harold. And he is so happy. Okay, so he picks up Harold. He gets him out of these briars that he's stuck in. You know, he kind of cleans them off. And it's been a long distance, so he puts Harold over his shoulders and carries him home. And he is so happy. He is celebrating the fact that he found Harold. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what he's here for. That's what he came for. And we can all be thankful of that, right? I mean, all of us are beneficiaries of that. Jesus came to find the lost and carry them home. See, he recognizes, Jesus knows that the lost can't get home on their own. Jesus gave his life for the lost. He gave his life for us because it's the only way we could get home. Now, you know, when I do wrong, and you folks know me well enough to know that I do, right? When I do wrong, my expectation deep down inside of me is that I'm going to get punished harshly by Jesus for that. It's just, it's where I am, all right? Now, I know better. This is the way I feel. Okay? You know, I've done wrong, and I'm going to get a whooping. Right? Anybody else just feel that way? You know, it's like when I've done something wrong and I go home to my dad. And my dad loved me very much, but he, you know, there were some things that I just would have never done because I was just would have been too afraid of what my father might have done to me. Right? And sometimes things would happen by accident and stuff. And I would just expect, you know, to get the tar beaten out of me. I don't have any tar in me anymore. Right? I've had it beaten out of me enough. You know, one time I was driving home in snow. I was in college, and it had snowed really, really hard. And it was about a half-hour drive from York to Camp Hill. And I-83 is from York to Camp Hill is terrible. And I had thought about staying the night at my uncle's house, but I had to go home because I had this girl that was a rider. That she was, you know, we were commuting together. She was helping to pay for the gas. And she had to get home. So I drove home, and the snow was pretty bad. And a car coming onto an on-ramp, there's only one lane down this road, coming on, and he shoved me over out of the lane, and I lost control of the car momentarily, and the car fishtailed, and the front headlight hit the guardrail and smashed the headlight. The bezel around the light was just destroyed, and the light was gone, and, you know, these little brackets are hanging all over the place and everything. Well, I kept driving. It was snowing really hard. And I, you know, when I dropped off, I can't remember this girl's name, but I dropped her off at the house, at her house, and I looked at this thing, and I thought, oh, my dad is going to kill me. You know, I contemplated just running away, you know. But there's all this snow. I don't have that much gas in the car. I probably wouldn't have gotten more than 10 miles. And my dad would somehow find me anyway. And I got home, and I went inside the house, and I was late, but I had called. They knew I was going to be late, and we had talked to my parents about whether I would stay or go and all that. And my dad could just see in my eyes, you know, he said, "Is everything okay?" "No, I smashed the car." And we went out, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, there's all this snow on the ground. It's going to be spring till they find my body anyway. You know, it's just over, right? At least I don't have to worry about the finals coming up in a couple of weeks, you know. And, you know, my dad accepted the fact that it was an accident. It was. And he just, you know, he looked at that and he said, "Well, this weekend we'll go buy the parts and you and I can fix this." And we did. Okay. I didn't get a whooping for that. But that's how Jesus is with us. You know, we expect to be punished, but Jesus carries us home. You know, in this parable, Jesus is the shepherd with 100 sheep. And he's the one that goes out looking for the lost and puts them on his shoulders. And, you know, I don't know that the 100 sheep was named Harold, but I used a name because he knows our names. You know, you're not just sheep number 5,284, or whatever the number would be, right? But you're you, and he knows your name. And you know, one of the things to think about with that is, you know, are you wandering? Okay? You know, we have a bowl up here. We have a lot of names in it, and I call it this praying for the wayward, okay, because some people are lost, they've never come to Christ. Some people are Christians, but they've kind of, they've really walked away and stuff, and we don't need to try to argue or to decide whether they're saved or not, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. They're just not walking with Christ. So I just use that term wayward for that. You know, are you wayward? Jesus will carry you home. I mean, whatever kind of a mess you're in, ask Jesus to get you out of the briars, okay? Maybe you're absolutely stuck. Ask him to get you out of the briars. Scripture tells us that Jesus will not break a bruised reed. Okay? And that's another implication. Jesus will not take a broken or wounded, will not take a bruised or wounded man or woman, and he doesn't break them. He helps them. He does correct, but he doesn't crush. So if you're running away from Christ, if you're running away, walking your own path, ask him to get you home. But then what about the wayward that are around us, right? I mean, as good Christians, I mean, we want to shoot them, right? Just put them out of our misery. Slap them around at the very least. We've got to make them feel bad. You know what? At the very least, you know, they need to lose a hand or an arm, depending on what it is they've done. And they have to know that we know that they've been doing wrong. And somebody has to punish them, and it might as well be us. That's often how we are. But we should be treating the wayward gently, kindly, humbly. We should be healing and a helping presence. So take a minute. And who are the wayward that are around you? Okay, not necessarily exactly right now, sitting around you, but you know, who are the wayward that you come around? People you see. I mean, picture them. This isn't just a generic question. Picture the people you come in contact with who are running from Christ, whether they know it or not. I mean, people who are just unworthy, right? People who are fallen, people who are bad, right? Picture the people you'd be terribly embarrassed to be seen around if I came up. You know, you're sitting at Burger King and you're talking to somebody and I come walking to Burger King. All of a sudden you're a little embarrassed because pastor saw you with them. Picture the people you really just want to avoid. These people need to be carried home. They need to be loved. They need to be befriended. Okay, and that's hard. You can be friendly, but a much harder and much more important step is to be friends. It takes real effort to be friends. Now, you can't be friends with everybody, right? There's only so many hours in a day. But there's probably a couple of all these people you've looked at, one or two, that God would have you befriend. And to somehow lovingly let them see their need for Jesus. These people need someone to sacrifice for them. Okay, Jesus gave up heaven and he emptied himself, right? The creator of the universe. If you think about the grand story of the Bible, okay, God, who doesn't need anything, makes everything that there is, that we know of, right? He makes everything except himself, okay? Heaven, angels, everything. Space, time, matter, antimatter if it exists, everything. And he forms it all, and he sets some boundaries. And some of those boundaries we look at call natural laws, like the fact that gravity works. Okay, we can all be thankful for that, I think, you know, and electricity, he sets all this stuff up, and he makes some rules for people, he creates people, and he sets up some rules, boundaries for their own good, And you know, to break the rules is a really important thing. It's really serious. And God, who is just, says, you know, look, if you break the rules, really, the right punishment is death. And we break the rules. We take it upon ourselves to break the rules. Now, all this time, I mean, around us, we have all kinds of people who want to argue that God shouldn't be able to do that. And, you know, we want to judge God. But he's beyond being judged, okay? So what does the Creator do? He becomes one of us, and he is the one who dies. I mean, that's him carrying us back. Okay? Somebody's got to die. And he does it so that we don't have to. And if we will put our faith in him, if we will put our trust in him, then we have his life, which lasts forever. But that's the grand story of all this. People need to know that. People need to know that God has died for them. God has sacrificed for them. Now, you know, one thing I want to mention about all this is lost sheep don't act like someone who's in the fold. Okay, Harold, who ran away, doesn't act like the rest of the sheep. He ran away. Okay, the lost don't act like the saved. Okay, they say things they shouldn't, and they do things they shouldn't. And they require a lot of patient love. Just like you and I, we need a lot of patient love. And we have to be okay with the fact that the lost act like people who are lost. The wayward are wayward. And they need Jesus. Now, the easy thing with this sermon would be to go home and over lunch say, well, that was a nice sermon. Or maybe, well, that was kind of boring. Or whatever you usually say, I don't know. And then just either, no matter what you say, just forget it. Right? Like 99% of the sermons you ever heard in your life. Just forget them. That's the easy thing to do. The easy thing is to say, well, you know, there are people who need help, people who need to be carried back, so somebody needs to go do that. It's just not going to be me. Right? Somebody needs to go help these people. And I'm glad it's not me, because I'm busy, right? I've got a football game to see. Actually, that's not really true. I've got a basketball game to see. Or I've got, you know, whatever you got to do. See, we're not really called to the easy thing. I would like you to consider going after the lost. Go after them. Not waiting for them to come to you, but go after them. Go find them. Some things. Start praying for the lost. And if you're going to do that, what you really got to do is pray for them by name. And if you're going to do that, you really need to see them. You need to notice them. You know, for Christians, often the lost are kind of like the homeless. You just never even know they're there. Right? You just don't see them. You know, there are these people you walk past every day and you don't even know they're there. It just doesn't register. But see them. Recognize them. And then befriend one or two of them. And I'm serious, befriend one or two. Not just be nice. Maybe it starts there, like, hey, hi. But help them. Meet real needs. I mean, be a real friend. Meet real needs. This coming Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. Everybody know that? This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So Tuesday is called Fat Tuesday. That's often a more celebratory kind of a day. Because you aren't supposed to have things like leaven in your house over Lent traditionally, you need to eat it all. So you make all your food that you aren't supposed to have, and you eat it all on Tuesday. The Germans make what's called Faschnots, which are like donuts, and they eat them all on Tuesday, so it's all gone. That's kind of the idea of Mardi Gras, right? Okay, you get rid of all the good stuff so you can get through Lent. But for Lent, coming up to Easter, what I'd like you to do is to take this sermon, take this parable seriously. Would you, Jeremy, or maybe both of you, give everybody one of those? Not everybody. I mean, the infants. All right. If you can't read, maybe you don't need one. All right. What I have on this card, it says Easter invite. You'll see it in a second. It has a couple of things on the schedule. The 9th of April, which is Palm Sunday, but the 9th of April, we're going to have our cantata. Choir's already getting started on it. It's going to be a big deal. Okay. It's quite a production. We might even get Jody to dance, as she talked about. I don't know. Oh, that's right. She's going to be in Vegas. I don't know if anybody dancing, but it's going to be a big deal. It's going to be really, really nice. The choir's working very hard at it. The 13th, which is Thursday, we have our Easter egg hunt. And then Easter Sunday, we have our normal Easter Sunday schedule. 8 o'clock service, 9 o'clock breakfast, regular service at 10:45. We'll have communion at the 10:45 service. Try to make them a real big deal, okay? What I would like you to do is pray to invite one person to one of those events. So the first way to pray is to pray, God, who do you want me to invite? Now, don't invite somebody who already comes to Hillside, okay? Don't invite me. Doesn't count, right? Andrew, don't invite Sue. Doesn't count. You're not getting off that easy. No. I want you to pray over someone who doesn't go to church at all, okay? Don't be inviting people who normally go over to Christ United, all right? Don't do that. Somebody who doesn't go to church at all. Somebody who is wayward. Ask God to give you a name. Two at absolute most, okay? I'm really just asking for one name. And then pray for them and pray for a way to invite them. Now, one of the best ways to invite somebody is to ask them if you can bring them, okay? Don't just have them meet you here. People who don't go to church are often kind of afraid of it. People who are going to go into someplace new, there's a lot of anxiety with that. So driving up into a parking lot you don't know, walking to a building you don't know is kind of weird, especially if it's a church. And there's a spiritual thing about that. But having a friend pick you up at home and take you is so much easier. And it's so much harder to back out when you start to feel nervous, okay? If you invite Harold, okay, Harold the lost sheep, if you invite Harold and Satan's kind of working on him during the week, he says yes, and he's going to come to the cantata. But then Satan gets working on him, and then he gets kind of nervous about going, and he doesn't really want to do it. So come Sunday, he just stays home. And he'll just give you an excuse come on Monday. I had my socks to wash or whatever, right? You know? I wasn't feeling that good. But if you invite Harold, and this is part of carrying him home, I guess, and say, tell you what, We have this cantata at 10:45. I'll pick you up at 10:30 at your house, and I'll take you. So now, when it starts getting, he starts getting nervous, he has to get enough nerve to call you and say no. Now, something really goes wrong, and he can't go, and he can't go. But it's so much easier to have somebody bring you. By the way, 100% of the people you bring will actually be here. I make up statistics all the time, but that's what I'm comfortable with, you know? This isn't that hard. To be praying over somebody to invite. You don't have to know how to share Jesus. You don't have to have the Romans Road memorized. You don't have to be able to read ancient Hebrew or Greek. Right? None of those kind of things. Hey, these are some really cool things that are happening. I'd like to bring you. Will you come along? It's a start. So again, pray for God to give you a name, then start praying, pray for that person, and pray for an opportunity to invite that person. It's that easy. And we will be participating in Jesus who came to seek and save the lost.